As we continue in our November sermon series, this morning we turn to our gospel lesson out of the Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. So if you're still in Matthew from earlier, just hop, skip, and a jump a few chapters ahead and meet us there in Matthew 14, verses 13 through 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Once again, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, coming on the heels of an election week, and despite all the political polarization that exists in our country today, there's at least one thing I think that we can all agree on. Inflation isn't fun. While there's much debate about how we got into this mess and how we get out of it, there's no debating how much more expensive everything seems to be. And because of that, more and more families are having to pinch pennies to make sure that they can afford things like food, rent, and other basic necessities. Even so, for some people, pinching pennies simply isn't enough. In spite of how hard they might work, their wages can't keep up with rising costs, and as the bills come due each month, they're left asking themselves, what if there's not enough? I think we ask ourselves this question from time to time, even when we're not faced with financial difficulties. Because by and large, our culture has conditioned us to never be satisfied with what we have, and instead keep thinking that more money or more stuff is the key to lasting peace. Now, assuredly, while certain amounts of money and stuff do provide our lives with stability and safety, the idea that more is always the answer is quite sinful and self-destructive when you stop and think about it. Because once you do get a certain amount of something you desire, immediately, you're conditioned to think that it's no longer enough and that you still need more. Friends, when scarcity is our default mindset, it's almost impossible to find satisfaction or contentment in anything. And quite frankly, that's no way to live. In spite of what our culture might try and tell you, don't let the things you don't have make you ungrateful for all the blessings that God's already given you. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning as we reflect on our scripture out of Matthew 14, as Christ comes to show us how to live a satisfied life and how we can be good stewards of the blessings that we've already been given. Now, as we dive into the world of Matthew 14, we need to begin by understanding what's going on in Jesus' life in these moments leading up to the feeding of the 5,000. Now, in verse 13, the Bible says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. What did Jesus hear? What had happened to cause him to seek out this quiet and solitary place? Well, in the verses leading up to this passage, we read how John the Baptist, the great prophet, as well as Jesus' very own cousin, was brutally murdered and beheaded while in prison. It's hard to imagine receiving worse news than this. And like many of us do when we lose a friend or a loved one, Jesus needed to step aside in order to process what had happened. Unfortunately, as the scripture tells us, Jesus' solitude didn't last very long. Because once word got out among the locals that Jesus was nearby, the masses arrived to see this person that they had heard so much about. You know, when you're trying to grieve, it's kind of hard to entertain guests, isn't it? So Jesus could be forgiven here if he'd simply chosen to send the people away and tell them not to bother him right now. We'd all understand that, right? But what does Jesus choose to do? He doesn't choose to send them away. No, rather the Bible says that he had compassion on the people that came to them and he healed their sick. That's our Jesus, always putting our needs ahead of his own. Now, this time of healing apparently went on for a very long time. So long, in fact, that as evening approached, there were still thousands of people gathered around Jesus. And while Jesus was focused on the people, the disciples, on the other hand, were focused on the potential problems which might result if this crowd remained gathered through the night. Listen again to verse 15. As evening approached, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Now, y'all, listen. I know how antsy Baptists get when we're still worshiping afternoon on a Sunday. So I can only imagine how chaotic this crowd would have become if they had gotten out there in the middle of nowhere, stayed all night, and suddenly there's no food to eat. The disciples were concerned for the safety of the masses because nothing good happens in a crowd of 5,000 people once they get hungry and there's no food to eat. So the disciples, realizing all this, they went to Jesus with a reasonable proposition. "Jesus, it's getting late. We don't have nearly enough food for all these people, so let's send them home now before something bad happens." Now, what does Jesus say to this reasonable request? "No, they don't need to go away. How about you give them something to eat? We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, the disciples responded. "That's hardly enough to feed a family of 4, let alone a crowd of 5,000 people." What was Jesus thinking here? See, in this moment, the disciples had a good idea with good intentions. They really did. The people are hungry, and we don't have enough food for all of them, so it's best if we just send them all away. Well, so often what Christ does with our good ideas is that he expands them to such a degree that it's impossible to accomplish them without great faith. And that's what he's calling the disciples to have in this moment of scarcity. He's calling them to have abundant faith. So what if you don't have enough to feed everybody? Feed what people you can and trust God to do the rest. Don't outsource your obligations as a disciple, but serve the people that God has placed in your path to the best of your ability, and trust the Lord to do the rest. You know, too many times, scarcity convinces us that since we can't do it all, we shouldn't do anything. Now, Christ says that we can't do it all on our own either, but when we invite God into our struggles and our battles with us, friends, amazing things can happen. As we hear in Philippians 4, verses 12 through 13, Paul writes, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." Contentment and satisfaction comes from realizing that in Christ, we find all the things we thought we'd never have, And through faithful stewardship of these gifts that we have been given, we can be useful servants in God's kingdom. That's what the disciples were slowly realizing as Jesus' words to them began to sink in. For in this moment of challenge, where Christ called them to give the people something to eat, they remembered what they had, and more importantly, who they had on their side. Even though all they had were 5 loaves of bread and 2 measly fish, they still had something. Scarcity tries to convince us that what we have is never enough, no matter how much or little we actually have. But little is much when God is in it. Part of being a Christian is learning to trust God to do great things with the little that we have. And the disciples were learning that lesson in real time as they offered up what they had in service to God's people, as little as it may be. Thankfully, Jesus doesn't ask us to have it all figured out on our own, does he? He doesn't ask us to have a lot of money or stuff in order to be of any use to him or other people. Rather, he asks us to bring whatever we have and offer it in service to him, and that will be enough. Enough. How satisfying is it to know that who we are and what we have is enough for God? How humbling it is to know that he's going to work through whatever we've got and provide an abundance of blessings for others as well as ourselves. See, friends, God doesn't desire what you don't have. Rather, he just desires you. He desires all of who you are, the good, the bad, and yes, even the ugly. In a world that tells you that you'll never be enough, you are more than enough for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you give him all of yourself and allow him to move in you and through you, you'll see less of what you don't have and more of what you already do. And when you offer him what you do have in service to the Lord, friends, great things are possible. That's what the disciples discovered as they gave what they had to Christ and asked him to bless it. As these baskets were passed from person to person, they discovered that there was, in fact, more than enough to go around. In this miraculous feeding, scarcity gave way to abundance. Unbelief gave way to belief. And hunger gave way to satisfaction. You know, that all makes me wonder what kind of impact we could have in our city, our state, and our world if we saw what we already had as more than enough for God to use for his glory. What if we stopped believing the lies of scarcity and began recognizing and responding to God's abundance in our own lives? When you stop believing that you'll never have enough, you'll be able to see and appreciate the abundance that you already have. And when you do, you'll not only give God the glory for it, but you'll seek to use it and share it for God's glory as well. That's what being good stewards is all about. Appreciating what you're already blessed with and using those blessings for God's glory. But how do we do all that if we're still slaves to scarcity? If you find yourself asking the question, what if there's not enough, more often than you'd like to admit, what can you do to start being more grateful for what you already have and less focused on what you don't? Well, here's a couple of three suggestions. First, remember God's faithfulness. Now, as we did so earlier in the service, it's easy to forget how faithful God's been to us when we don't take time to reflect on the many blessings that we've received from him. Year by year, season by season, we can look back and remember how God faithfully met our needs. Taking time to remember and reflect on God's faithfulness helps us to realize that just as God has been with us before, He will continue to be with us now, and he will be with us in the future. And because of that, we don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. Rather, in the words of Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Don't let scarcity cause you to forget God's faithfulness. But by taking time to remember and reflect, let's recall God's abundance in our lives and never forget to praise him accordingly. Second thing we can do is this. And this is a little bit different verbiage from what's printed in your bulletin. But you've got to distinguish your needs from your wants. You've got to distinguish your needs from your wants. You know, too often we get our needs and our wants confused, which leads us to feel like there's never enough of what we actually need. But what do you really need, friend? What's absolutely necessary for your life? If we're being quite honest with ourselves, we've probably all got a lot of needs that are actually just wants. Things that are nice, but not really necessary. And if we're not taking time to distinguish one from the other, we're going to spend a lot of time and money chasing after things that aren't really necessary for our health or for our happiness. Scarcity tries to convince us that we need more of what we don't already have. And when we count our wants as our needs, it just makes the list that much longer and more difficult to achieve. Have you ever really taken the time to consider what it is that you actually need? Most of us really haven't. Instead, we listen to others who are happy to tell us what we need, and most of the time, those needs are things that are new, expensive, and completely unnecessary. That's what happens when we live in a consumer culture, though. It keeps you in a scarcity mindset, a mindset that tells us that what you have will never be enough. So you've got to keep chasing whatever's nice, new, and next to be responsible stewards of God's blessings. We've got to determine what we actually need to live on and prioritize those needs over our wants. And if we're able to do that, we can find much relief from the stress of scarcity because we won't be spending time, money, and energy chasing after things that, quite frankly, we do not need. So in order to make sure that God's blessings are, in fact, meeting your needs, determine what your needs actually are, and then direct your blessings to go where they need to go. Third and finally, to receive the greatest blessings, friends, you've got to give yourself away. How many times have you stepped out on faith to bless somebody else, only to find that you were the one who wound up receiving the greatest blessing of all? In his own perfect and powerful way, God blesses us when we faithfully obey his call on our lives and offer ourselves in service to others and in their needs. In Luke 6:38, Jesus says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you." When we use our good gifts for God's glory, great things can happen for others as well as ourselves. But that doesn't mean that desiring blessings for others is the only reason why we should help people. For ourselves, rather. Desiring blessings for ourselves shouldn't be the only reason why we seek to help other people. Sadly, there are many false prophets who call themselves Christians who listen to the prosperity gospel rather than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they tell the greedy, gullible masses that faith is really nothing more than an investment that will yield them incredible financial and material returns. Now, friends, does God desire to bless and provide for the people who faithfully follow him and serve others faithfully in his name? Yes, absolutely he does. But does God prosper the people who seek him only because of the money and stuff they hope to get in return for their faith? Absolutely not. God doesn't reward self-serving behavior, especially when it makes our faith and our charity slaves to our greed. When we're not seeking God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and putting the needs of others ahead of our own as Christ did, we can't expect to receive the good and gracious gifts of a good and gracious God. But friends, when our heart is in the right place and we're giving ourselves away in the right spirit for the right reasons, God is pleased and others are blessed. That's what Christ desires from us, friends. He desires our obedience, our faithfulness, and our willingness to share what we've been blessed with so that others can experience the generous and abundant love of Jesus through our service, our faithfulness, and our witness to them. As we wrap things up, let's try to stop asking ourselves the question, what if there's not enough? And start asking ourselves some of these questions every day instead. Questions like, what blessings am I grateful for today? What needs does God continue to meet in my life? And what blessings can I share with others in order to help meet their needs? When we ask ourselves the right kind of questions, we'll begin to recognize more and more of God's abundance in our lives. And the more we do, our gratitude will grow and we'll be better prepared to share that abundance with others. May it be so for us today and every day.